B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's 3 o'clock hours. Mike Missinelli Show, special show today. Charles Barkley co-hosting, and Sixer James Annis will introduce you in a minute. The 3 o'clock hours brought to us by Corporate Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Ladies and gentlemen, in the studio right now, Sixer guard James Annis. What's up, James?
What's good? How you doing?
Hey, I saw you laughing on the sofa there. About what was he saying to make you laugh?
I don't know. He's funny and he loves jokes.
Yo, brother, trust me. You should have seen some of the stuff I play with when I'm here. You know, I sit back laughing. Joel and Ben, they get Tobias. They get Jimmy Butler. I told you, I got Manute Bol and Shelton Jones.
Different than this squad.
Different than this squad.
This squad goes 1-12. And James, let's get into your decision to come back here. You had some great playoff moments. You were a staple off the bench in the playoffs, and you know, most of the fans are glad that you came back. But what made you want to stay here?
I want to win. That's why I came back. I love the organization. I love all the players on this team. And yeah, I just want to win.
What do you think of what they've done now? From 1-12, and the new starting lineup, and guys coming off the finals.
Oh, there it is, prediction. We're going to the finals. You said that a little earlier, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Listen, you're sticking with that.
Have to.
What do you think of that, Charles?
I've already said I think the Sixers, not only are they going to the finals, I think they got a really good chance of winning the championship.
You like when a player steps out, says that?
Yeah, you got to believe in your team.
Facts.
I mean, and I don't mind putting pressure. Like when I got to Phoenix, I was with Jerry Colangelo and Cod Fitzsimmons. I says, okay, this is what's going to happen. We're going to the finals and we're going to play the Bulls. This is the first day we had a private meeting when I first got traded to Phoenix. I says, you know, I've always wanted to play against Michael Jordan with some help. I said, we're going to the finals. I don't know what's going to happen in the finals. I says, but we're going to the finals. I promise you that. And obviously the Bulls.
Did you say that publicly?
No. I said it later.
Uh-huh.
I said it later, but I'm talking about the first meeting when I got traded to Phoenix. When I was sitting around, I said, guys, we're going to the finals. And I told the team that. I said, guys, we're going to the finals. And I says, but we're going to have a different mindset. Because people forget, even though we had the best record in the NBA, we got off to a real rocky start. And actually, the best thing happened to us that year, the Bulls came to town and they stomped us. And I went crazy after the game. I said, guys, that's the team we're going to play in the finals. And y'all let them come to our house and just kick our ass. We got to get ourselves together. That's the team we're going to play in the finals. And you could tell they knew they were going to play us in the finals, or they knew we had a chance. Because, you know, there's teams you play during the regular season, Mike. Like you know, people say they play the same every game. That's just a lie. But there's some teams you play that you're like, that's the team we're going to play either in the finals or to get to the finals. Like every time the Sixers this year, they play Milwaukee, Boston, those games are going to be different than when they play in the Hawks or Orlando. Because they know the Sixers are the team to beat. Milwaukee's right there, and Boston's probably the third best team in the Eastern Conference. But when you play against a team that you know that's the team we're going to have to beat, it's a totally different vibe.
Who else, James, when you look at this, the East, he just mentioned two teams. Toronto takes a step down naturally with losing Kawhi, but what teams do you think step up?
I see Brooklyn. Brooklyn's going to be pretty good. That's it.
Indiana, maybe?
Probably. But it's mostly Milwaukee and Brooklyn, I think.
You think you guys are better than Milwaukee right now?
We match up well with them. Definitely.
I know you've been in the league for 9 years, so you know what good teams are from Brad, right? So what makes this team to what they've assembled? Because you have guys that haven't played together yet. What makes it on paper the best team in the East, you think?
We have a lot of vets now. You know, we brought in Al Horford. He's a big still. Every don't know, but he's a big still. He's going to help us a lot. And, you know, and we have from backup point guard, Trey Burt, he's good. We got Josh coming in at the two guard. He's good. So on paper, we're very versatile. We're a big team.
I see some practice wars with you and Josh Richardson happening.
Say it again?
I see some practice wars with you and Josh Richardson happening.
I was with him when I was in Miami. So that was my rook.
Oh, he was your roommate?
My rook.
Your rook.
Yeah, when I was there in Miami.
You surprised a lot of people last year coming off the bench. The Sixers were screaming for somebody to contribute off the bench. Mm-hmm. And you grabbed the moment. What was that like in the playoffs?
It was good. You know, I worked so hard to be able to do that. And it happened. You know, I just wanted to show everybody that I can help a team.
What are you working on in the off season? What did you think you needed to work on to come back?
Just be more a consistent 3-point shooter, knock down shots. Just more lateral, like defensively, move laterally. So I do a lot of mobility, stretching, stuff like that to open my hips up.
Let me ask you a question about Charles. Did the players watch these guys on TNT and laugh at him or listen to him? Because they, he tells it like it is. He offends a lot of people.
He's 100.
Yes. So, what do players say about that show?
it's good. He knows what he's talking about.
He does?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Joel got mad at me because obviously I'm plugged in with the Sixers. And what I said was, I stick by. He's got to get in better shape. And what I said was, they don't want to run him every day. I can deal with that. But what they should do is make him get in a pool. Because if he would swim or run in a pool, that take all the weight off his legs. And let me tell you something, swimmers are probably the best conditioned athletes in the world. So you got to make a choice. You cannot play basketball and get in shape, especially because the playoffs really is a 2-month juggernaut. And if you're not working on your conditioning and when you're playing every other day, it's going to catch up with you. So he got mad and took a couple of shots, which is fine because my job is to do my job. I actually thought I was being constructive. I says, okay, he's got a history of injuries, but he can go swimming or run in a pool. He did not like that. But I'm glad he's lost 30 pounds. It's only going to happen. Because listen, and I have said, him and Ben together could be the new Shaquille and Kobe. Now, Ben's not on Kobe's level, and Joel's not on Shaq's level. But I think it's fair to say, I'll say this. I think Ben Simmons, at this is his third year? Fourth
year coming
up?
It's going to be his fourth? It's going to be a third year playing. Okay, yeah, he sat out the 1 year. So, yeah, this is going to be his third year playing.
I think you can say he might be. Remember, people forget Kobe's one of the 5 or 6 greatest players ever. But he struggled early in his career. Yep. I think you can say that Ben is at least. And I'm not saying he's going to be greater than Kobe. Don't mix up my words. But he got potential, man, to be one of the best to ever do it. And Joel, ain't nothing he can do if he stay off that 3-point line.
He likes that, though.
I know.
Doesn't he, James? He likes the 3-point line.
Yeah,
right?
But you know why?
Why? He likes to make a three.
No, that's not why he does it.
At least saving his energy.
So he don't have to run as far.
We talked about that last year. He doesn't like to go from post to post.
Hey,
right.
I know old pro tricks. I know, I've been in the NBA over 30 years. I know all the tricks. I played with Oliver Miller. And
he was 300, by the way.
At least.
Yeah.
But he would always stay at the top of the key. He said, I want to run the point forward, point center. What's he do? You just don't want to run from that bottom line to the other bottom line. You want to run from top of the key to top of the key. As you can't fool us.
Joel saves his energy by doing that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Now James, playing with those two guys. Now, let's talk about Ben because it was just lofty praise by Charles. Have you been in contact with those guys at all and to know what they're up to?
Yeah, cause I'm in L.A., so Ben's out there, too, and he's working out with Chris Johnson, and I know Chris is helping his shot, and his shot looks a lot better. He's more confident shooting the ball, so I'm I'm pretty sure Ben's going to be shooting a lot of more threes next year.
All right. Now, that's the hope of everybody here, you know, because that's the issue that follows him, whether he's going to shoot it more. Did players talk to him about that, like just telling him to pull the trigger last year?
They said it, but, you know, Ben knows himself, you know. As a ball player, you know what you're good at, you know what you can do, and what your strong points are. So him getting a jumper, him not getting a jumper, you know, Ben know how to put the ball in the rim.
Yeah, but does he realize that it would make his game so much better?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He does.
That's why he's working on his jumper.
Okay. So we got to see it, though, against NBA competition.
Well, hold on.
Right?
Let me say one thing, too. Right. I'm going to take an exception to one thing y'all said. He don't have to shoot threes.
No. I'm not talking about threes.
Okay. I'm just talking about there is some lane in between.
Yeah, no, medium range jump shots. Yeah. I don't care if he shoots a three.
We just saw a guy win the championship who takes more mid-range jumpers than any player in the league. That's one thing I love about Kawhi. He takes more mid-range jumpers.
If Ben does that,
it will make his game. Because then, first of all, the main reason would be 5-on-5.
Yeah, they can't back off.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying if he's afraid to shoot, it's really 5-on-4.
Yeah,
and that's not fair to Mr. Ennis. Mm-hmm. Not fair to JJ when he was here, because his man. It definitely ain't fair to Joel, because those guys can sag and cheat off Ben. That's why he got to make himself useful.
All right, so the video that's out there.
I told you.
Wait a minute. He's screaming. Devin Booker's guarding him, and he hit a step back jumper on him. Medium range step back.
Well,
Andrew Wiggins too,
and Wiggins. You know those guys.
Those
guys aren't guarding them. They're not guarding NBA. You know, like they're not playing NBA defense. But still, it's like
they don't play.
Devin from the street. It's Devin Booker.
Them two guys don't play NBA defense when they in the NBA.
No, you're right about that. See, I knew you'd have an answer.
Come on, man.
So you disregard it completely.
Listen, I told you, y'all tricked me 3 years ago, showing me all the jumpers that Markel Fultz was making. I was like, so, because I'm sitting here and y'all, Markel, I know, they're showing me like, ooh, Markel Fultz making all these jumpers. I'm like, well, I don't see Westbrook, I don't see James Harden, I don't see those guys out there. So it doesn't matter if you can make jump shots against waiters and bartenders in the summer league. That does not impress me. You got to get that stuff off against NBA players. That's when you get it all. Because let me tell you something. So I talked to the Sixers about Markel Fultz, and I said, y'all going to make him play the summer league, right?
Nope.
They said, no. And I says, what do you mean? They're like, his guys don't want him playing summer league. I says, well, I looked at the schedule. Y'all open up against the Celtics. So y'all theory is to throw him out there against Kyrie Irving instead of playing in the summer league against a bunch of waiters and bartenders. I said, he's probably going to be able to get his confidence up against them waiters and bartenders during the summer. And they're like, well, his people don't want him playing like that. I said, guys, 85% of those guys who play in the summer league are not going to play in the NBA. He's got a much better chance of being successful against those guys than throwing him out there against the Boston Celtics. And they're like, well, his people. I said, guys, he worked for you guys.
That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. It's the climate has changed.
Yeah, but no.
James?
No, it has. Played 3 years in summer league.
Yeah, see, it doesn't work like that anymore. Yeah. The players dictate what they want to do.
No.
Right?
But if you the number one draft pick and you got some issues, you got to play the summer league. You got to play the summer league. That's the best chance to get your confidence up. Putting you out there, think about it. Putting him out there against a Westbrook, a Curry, guys like that, that's not going to help his confidence. Going to the summer league, playing against some guys who probably not going to be in the NBA, that's how you build up your confidence.
No, listen, you know that. I know that. James knows that. but the players, like a guy like Markel Fultz, thinks he's good enough without that.
No. No,
he's not ready yet. By the way, he's not ready.
That's a sad situation. And that's to me. They can talk about shoulders and all that stuff. That's clearly psychological, in my opinion. It's psychological.
I think you're right. Jay, while I got you here, you know, that Houston situation is interesting. You spent some time down there, obviously. What can you say about that dynamic between those two guys now if they finally split them up? Harden and Paul.
Oh, Harden and Paul.
By the way, they're going to have to cancel that State Farm commercial, I guess, right?
Yeah, they're going to cancel that.
Yeah.
No, it was cool. The locker room was good. I felt like, I don't know.
Well, you were out of there before it exploded last year, I guess, right? So you didn't see any big explosion from last year.
Yeah, I didn't see, because I got traded during the midseason, so I didn't see the ending. But obviously it was pretty bad because they got rid of Chris Paul.
Yeah, let me ask you about Philadelphia and the city itself and how you fit in here, because you're a Cali guy.
Yeah.
Long Beach State guy.
Yes, sir.
By the way, I can rattle off Long Beach State players. Are you really? Like the best player in Long Beach State history? Are you up there?
Byron Russell.
Lucius Harris.
I don't know who that is.
He's a guard, played for the Sixers. Craig Hodges. Right? Was there? No?
I guess. Yeah.
Craig
he won the 3-point shootout. Craig Hodges. Yeah, a couple times. Damn. Yeah.
Like
two or three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But you got a chance of being the best player ever come out of there, though. Yeah. No, he does. He got a chance.
Yeah, no, he does. Byron Russell's a pretty good name.
Yeah, but I'm saying he, mm-hmm. if he keeps getting better, he got a chance. Because, you know, you get measured afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so my point, the Philly vibe is a little different than the L.A. vibe, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
What do you like about the city? What's different about this city than all the other places you play?
I feel like L.A. is more like loud, you know, Hollywood type over here. You know, everybody, you know, love the sport, diehard fans, and, you know, love the Philly cheesesteaks.
You like the cheesesteaks?
Yeah,
they're good. You gotta stay off of them.
Yeah, I don't eat them a lot.
Charles don't eat them anymore.
I don't like cheesesteaks.
Oh, you don't? You never did?
I had one my first day ever.
That's a violation.
What? No, I'm just telling you. Because you know I'm a clean fanatic, right?
Yeah.
So, I hate wet bread. Seriously, I hate wet bread. I've only had one cheesesteak in my life. I got one the first day I came to Philadelphia, 1984, they took me for a cheesesteak, and it was just messy. And I can't handle it.
The wet bread.
Well, I hate wet bread.
When you eat a sandwich, is that wet bread?
No, because you don't put tomatoes in anything, and you make sure you put the lettuce.
You like dry sandwiches.
I do like, but I'm going to put, you got to put your mayo, but you got to put your lettuce. You got to put your lettuce against the bread so it doesn't get soggy.
That's smart. Get it.
That's smart.
Thank you. Thanks,
yeah,
man.
I get it.
Dude, I'm hey, listen.
You guys gonna pretend that this is all right?
No, it's not. Wait,
this is not okay.
Listen, I'm trying to like slough it off. Hitting like cheesesteaks. The wet bread thing is like, that's too odd.
Come on, man.
It's soggy.
Come on, wet bread is nasty. You know, listen.
What's it, like? How about a hot roast beef sandwich with gravy?
I won't eat that either.
A barbecue sandwich.
I will eat a barbecue sandwich, but it's hard to get good barbecue anywhere but the South.
Hey, all right, but still, that's wet bread. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, the wet bread thing. Come on, man. Wet bread.
I'm just telling you.
Right. James, last question. The Wells Fargo Center last year was rocking when you guys played in the playoffs. How would you rate this arena and noise and the fans behind, there's a Sixer fan base and all that stuff?
I feel like the number one.
Really?
Yeah.
What place have you been? You did number one.
Yeah. Because you get booed here if you do bad. So I never got booed. I've never been booed.
You got booed last year?
We got booed. Yeah. We weren't doing bad for a little bit.
You in particular got booed?
No, not me.
I think that's the one we were talking about earlier when Ben said something after the game.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, somebody got to him quickly, so shut the hell up.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I remember.
It made me want to play better when I got booed.
Didn't hurt your feelings?
It hurt a little bit, but like, they ain't booing you. Like, they paid a lot of money to come see you play. And sometimes, like, ain't nothing wrong with a good kick in the butt.
Facts.
I think, I think maybe two or three times we got booed at halftime and maybe three or four times after the game, but play hundreds of games. They paying a lot of money to come see you play, and I don't think they boo you if you giving good effort. That's one thing I can say about Philly. They might boo you, but you did something. Like, they didn't just say, hey, let's just go to the game and boo. You did something wrong.
Yeah. Well, James, so you like it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love it.
All right,
I love the atmosphere.
Listen, man, thanks for stopping in. We appreciate it. Have a great season. I love your prediction. Everybody's on board. Everybody's looking forward. You can't wait for the Sixer season to start. So best of health.
Good luck, young fella. I'll see you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's James Ennis hanging out. We'll take a quick break. Another break, Charles.
Oh, another break. Which one? What are we giving away now?
This is me telling me about my lawn.
Yeah. This is another lawn?
This is a lawn. Yeah, the people, you know, put the stuff on my lawn. Make it look nice.
Wait, I got
the robot lawnmower, but the grass has to grow before the robot lawnmower can work, right? So I got to have the natural lawn.
Boy, this radio thing's a scam. You could actually go your whole life and get a lot of free stuff.
You can. We're back after this. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30 is Mike Missinelli's show, and it is time to get a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moore & Sons from Natalie Eganoff. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll has over 1,800 votes on it so far. Do you accept Sean Rodriguez's apology? 30% say yes, 70% say no. So people are still mad.
Did he really apologize?
It was
an apology.
No, it was a weak apology. Yeah. He said he didn't mean to say entitled, but you still said it.
It's kind of weak. Tyrone, can you stand up? I want to see if the camera can pick this up. Because I didn't notice this until during the break. That's us on your shirt.
Yeah. And I don't know who sent it to me.
Look at that. It's us, Charles. Rock stars.
I like it. I do. I like it. I like it.
Isn't that amazing?
The guy who sent it, we can't tell what the logo says. It's something designed. So whoever made that shirt up, Tyrone gets t-shirts. He gets t-shirts like 5 a week.
But I like that, though. That's
a cool shirt.
That's a great picture of you three.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. I just would like to give credit to the person who sent it.
It looks like 13 something.
I thought 13 too.
I looked it up. Nothing came up.
If you sent the Rockstar t-shirt, email me at mikemiss@975thefanatic.com.
And I'm a small. Because I want one too.
Send a couple more.
That's such a cool shirt. I've never been on a shirt before. Uh-huh.
No, this was awesome. But I don't know who was responsible for it to even thank them on social media or anything. I usually thank the people when they get them.
They only sent one?
They sent one to me.
Oh, it's because he's the t-shirt man.
Yeah, but come on, man. You can't send one t-shirt. Stop it, Mike.
I agree with you.
You got to send more than one t-shirt.
That's kind of my thing.
I mean, that's why
Mike wears dresses a little smarter.
You know, that's probably why we don't know who they are. They only make one shirt at a time.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't wear... that's a good shirt to wear for a show, but you wear that out in public?
Why?
I can't wear that out in public.
You can wear it to an event.
Says rock stars. It's like you wearing Charles Barkley's the greatest on a t-shirt. Would you do that?
If somebody made it, I'm just kidding.
See, you know, James Ennis asked before he left, what did he ask about? What did he ask me about?
What?
The robot lawnmower.
Oh, yeah, he did. First of all, he better not be... Listen, if he got him a robot lawnmower, he ain't going to help the Sixers. Get out there and cut your grass yourself, man.
How many people do that anymore anyway? They pay a kid.
Yeah, a kid. Yeah,
see, I'm on my front. No, the back is where I had the robot.
When you have been successful like you have been, you can enjoy some of the pleasures of life. I have no problem with that. But like when you ain't made it yet... You got to rough it a little bit, Mike.
I still mow my front. I have a lawnmower. I mow the front. See, I get the robot in the back fenced in because I have a dog. So the robot can't open the fence.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to phones. Chuck from North Carolina, check it in. What's up, Chuck?
Man alive, I never thought in a million years I'd be working under a house and get to talk to Charles Barkley.
Look at that. My man's always outside working. In North Carolina, he's an outdoor worker.
Okay.
No, I'm an electrician. I'm underneath the house wiring up a new circuit. I got a dehumidifier I'm wiring up.
Look at that. You ever wire up a dehumidifier, Charles?
I am not good at fixing stuff. I've been busy, Mike.
Well, Charles, if you ever need an electrician, I got you covered. I'm really good at what I do, and I promise I won't burn your house down.
Thank you, brother.
I got a question for Charles. You and Shaq, are y'all friends? I mean, yeah, I see y'all go at it on the show and all that, and I've seen a couple looks where I thought y'all were going to pummel each other. I mean, y'all legit friends and, like, hang out and have drinks, or is it all TV?
Oh, man, we get along great, but he does have thin skin. He's got very thin. He's a great guy, and I love working with him, but he gets sensitive when we try to talk about basketball. Like, you know, Shaq is the most physically dominating thing we've ever had in the NBA. And the rest of the world has to have a philosophy have a strategy for every game, every player. And then when we try to have a basketball conversation, he gets mad and talks about how many championships he's won. Like, dude, we know you won a championship, but do you know anything about basketball?
And he sounds like a Dallas fan.
Listen, we know that he's a great, great basketball player, but when we're trying to have a basketball conversation, you can already tell when he's losing the conversation. He's just talking about how many rings he's got. Like, that doesn't answer the question, fool. What's the strategy? There's a strategy. But, you know, in fairness to him, he's never not been the most physically dominant player out there. So he doesn't have to have a strategy. He has, like, so when I played against Karl Malone or Larry Bird or Kevin McHale, those are three vastly different players. So you have to have a strategy, especially when you're a 6'5 power forward. So I can always I actually love throwing gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, you do.
When he gets mad and started talking about his rings, and I started telling him if it wasn't for Kobe and Dwayne, he wouldn't have any. And I love really getting under his skin. I love it.
Yeah, you do too. By the way, he's got to be close to 500 at this point, isn't he?
He gonna be.
He's what is he? 450?
He's a big boy.
This is what I don't get. Your suits you got a good suit game. He always wears like Easter suits.
He likes colors, bro.
He likes light colors. He wears a lot of cream stuff.
He likes colors.
But that's not becoming for a man of 450 plus.
Listen, man, he's a good dude. He just bought he just bought all those Papa John's.
Yep.
You know you know how big he's gonna be? Because he's doing that promotional tour right now on Papa John's. I think he bought 10 Papa John's. I was like, you know how big he going to be when the season starts again? Eating Papa John's all summer?
Yeah. Shaq and Kobe just had another little snit going on.
Yeah.
Like recently. Kobe said that he'd win more.
He would have won 12 rings if Shaq had been with him in the gym working hard. And Shaq's response was, I'd have had 12 rings if you ever passed.
You know, Shaq, listen, I like both guys. I don't think Kobe should have said that. I mean, Shaq's in the Hall of Fame, and Shaq said, "You don't get a statue if you're lazy." But you know, everybody's not obsessed like Kobe, who like don't have a life and your whole life is basketball. Like Shaq clearly loves to do other stuff. So I listen. They both good dudes. I don't think Kobe had to say that. And Shaq did not have to respond, but he's going to respond. You know, I told you. He got thinner skin than Flat Stanley. I mean, this dude ain't going to let nothing go by.
Let's get Anna Marie in here. Anna Marie and Chet and Drexel Hill. What's up, Anna?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to talk to Charles.
Go ahead.
Yes, good? I'm here, dawg.
Charles, do you remember me at all from way back when you played with the Sixers?
You got to give me some more help than that.
Okay, all right. I went to Alligators when you were there, and you did your talk show there.
Oh, my goodness.
And at Franklin and Marshall.
Oh, my God.
Saw you down there.
You're going way, way back.
Yeah.
You know, Anna Marie, I can't believe they turned our Alligators into a Lexus dealership. but I really enjoyed Franklin and Marshall.
Uh-huh.
We had training camp up there, going up there and hanging out with the Amish for a week. And And back then, I was a young kid, so we would...
You were hanging out with the Amish?
Yeah, they were always around holding up traffic.
Well, you didn't go to a farm, though, put up a barn.
No, they were going... You had to ride through them to get to the gym.
Yeah, I know you had to ride through them. Did you make friends with any of them?
No, I didn't want to bother them because I didn't know till later what that was.
Yeah.
I mean, you see people in a carriage, you know.
Yeah.
But I had great times up at Franklin and Marshall. I made some great friends up there. And that's a great little college.
Yeah, it is. Anne Marie, well, now how would Charles know you? Did you do something distinctive at one of these shows or anything?
Well, I went to the shows at Alligators, and I called in before, and then I went the next week, and I said, if I could come meet you, I'll come and see you. So he obliged, and I went, and he met me. And then at Franklin and Marshall, he did the nicest thing. I was in the stands watching him and the team, and he saw me up there, and he motioned me to come down. And I thought, what the heck is he doing? You know, I don't know. And he kept on saying, you know, waving with his hand. So I went down the bleachers and figured, let's see what happens. And I went on the court.
Well, that's, you know, I really appreciate you coming. I enjoyed doing the radio show.
Yes, sweetheart.
I enjoyed doing the radio show when we were winning.
Well, people come in.
I tell people.
When you were losing, would they bust you?
Oh, they were going. It was tough when you were losing. There's two places you don't want to be when things are bad, on a radio show or the Black Barbershop. Hey, a Black barbershop.
Correct.
Oh, when you had a Black barbershop, Woody.
Relentless.
Oh my God! There was a place at Woody's. They was three great brothers who when I had hair, I used to go there all the time, and they were great. But let me tell you something, boy. You don't want to be at a Black barbershop when your team not doing good. It's brutal in there. I mean, everybody's a coach and a general manager. And you don't want to be on a radio show when things are going bad.
I hear you. Franklin Marshall, my first job, I was a summer stringer for a newspaper. And they asked me to cover the Sixers camp at Franklin Marshall. It's when they had McGinnis.
Oh, man, you're going Georgia. way back.
I was maybe 17. So,
man, you've been doing this that long?
Well, yeah.
You've had a good run.
Yeah, well, I was a newspaper guy for a long time.
I know, but I know that. But I'm saying, though... I know I'm just saying this because I'm here with you.
Yeah, but I didn't start full time when I like that was like a stringer job. That was like a part time summer job.
Yeah, but you're still here 100 years later.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I was a journalism major, so
well, that's about. But yeah. you must have been doing something right.
Yeah, I was doing something right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm watching the scrimmage. Gene Shue's the coach, and they're scrimmaging. They had Joe Bryant and Lloyd Free and all those guys before Doc got there, and McGinnis, in the middle of the scrimmage, walked off the court. I guess they're coming back. I walk off the court. He went over to the bleachers, had cigarettes in his bag, took out a cigarette, started smoking.
Dude, let me tell you something. When I first got to the NBA, they would smoke cigarettes and drink beer.
At halftime?
Like, my first, in the beginning, it was crazy. But that was the norm back then.
Yeah. Well, he stopped the scrimmage. And G-Shoe's gone, George, come on. And he waved him off with a cigarette.
I don't think Gene wanted any of George.
No, I don't think so.
George was one of those guys you don't mess
with. Yeah, he's a big fella. Yeah. All right, 610-620-975. Questions for Charles coming up right after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, back. Mike Missinelli Show. Charles Barkley in studio today for the entire show. We love it when he's here. He likes it, too.
I do look forward to it every year. I couldn't do this every day.
No?
You do this 4 hours every day?
No, I try to take 3 days off a week. Yeah, I do it every day.
Man, you must be loaded then. They got to pay you a lot.
What do you mean?
4 hours a day?
Well, they don't pay me by the hour.
No, they shouldn't pay you by the hour.
Oh.
But this is a 4 hours a day.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is. It's not, I mean, I could do it one day of summer like I do. They have to really pay me to do this every day.
I deserve as much as you make on TNT.
Oh, man, come on. More money, more problems, brother. You don't want all them problems.
It's obscene what you make.
The more money you make, the more problems you have.
Yeah?
You do know that.
That's not true!
I would like to find out.
Yeah.
Ty, we'd like to find out.
We don't believe that over here.
Listen, Ty, I'm trying to make it 4 more years.
And then you're going into the sunset?
Is that 4 years? Brother, four years? Nobody should be working past 60, brother.
Well, what are you going to do when you stop it?
No, I'm going to do something to have fun, but I'm not working past 60. You working past 60, you needed a better job.
Don't you think you'd be bored?
Hell no.
No?
I can always find something to do. Okay. Hey, listen, I ain't ever going to get bored, but I don't want to work to the day you die. That's stupid.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Seriously.
This could be my last year.
You can't wake up one day and be 72 and says, oh, let me enjoy the rest of my life.
Why don't you finance my winery?
Winery?
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
How about if you be a major financial backer?
Dude, I just bought a vodka and gin distillery in Alabama.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Well, now that you're in business, how about a winery up,
I'm in vodka and gin, Mike. I just told you. It's called Redmont Vodka and Gin. I bought a distillery.
It's a good idea. Distillery's a good idea.
Well, we don't know that yet. We're up and running. We're in a bunch of stores.
You got your name on it?
I do not. I didn't want to put my name on it, but it's called Redmont Vodka.
Well, how are people going to know it's yours?
Well, I'm on the website, and I'm going to do some advertising for it once we get. The distillery is almost up. We're already doing the alcohol, but I wanted to build like a state-of-the-art tasting room.
Mm-hmm.
And also have a place where people can hold events.
Yeah, oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. Same thing I want to do.
I'm doing it. It's in Avondale, Alabama, a little suburb of Birmingham. But that's all I did this summer was to work on my distillery.
You know, I get nieces and nephews in your fall.
Oh, do you?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, some Miss Nelly's down there with a southern accent.
Oh, yes, I know. That goes over well.
Seriously.
Really?
Yeah, I got my nephew Justin and Ryan and my niece.
Justin
Missinelli? Justin Missinelli, and he speaks just like that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, you've talked about them before.
Right.
He's a big strapping lad.
Oh, I like
really?
That.
Really?
Huh? Oh, yeah, big dude.
Well,
He came to my sure house, they eating boiled peanuts and throwing shells all around.
Well, that's
you're not in Alabama anymore.
There's nothing worse than you to go to a place where they just throw them on the floor.
That's what he's doing. He's like throwing them over my deck onto my property. Well, what do you think? Yeah. He goes, but the biodegradable. Come on, man. You can't be littering my property.
Well, there's some restaurants in Alabama where you just eat the peanuts and throw the hulls on the floor. And you just walk them the whole time.
Yeah, see, I'm a fan of the boiled peanut. I like the boiled peanut.
I'm not a big boiled peanut fan.
I like the boiled peanuts. No. I like them. I got turned on to them. But you can't be littering my property.
The vacuum, the little lawnmower will chop them
up. No, this is at the shore.
Oh, down the shore?
Yeah.
Wait, you got a shore house too? You are rolling in the dough.
No, man, it's a little house. I bought it like
There's
20
no
years
little
ago.
Houses down the shore.
20 years ago, I bought it.
Not that small.
I know.
It's tiny.
Not that small.
Compared to
a tiny three bedroom?
It's four, but.
See what I mean?
But it's not big four. There's small bedrooms. Small bathroom.
What a Mr. Nelly's a small people. Yeah, all your friends ain't like Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley. Mr. Nelly's a small little, cute little family.
That's not right. Mike in North Philly. Mike on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
All right. Bless you. First time caller.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah. Charles, I'd like to ask Charles a question.
Yes, sir.
Charles, I know you from L.A. Fitness, Valley Kenwood.
Yes, sir.
I'm Kyle Speller's nephew.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, my uncle is uncle. So, listen, you talked about somebody speaking to Ben. I think you would be the ideal person because you're a Hall of Fame Sixer, and I think they would respect you in that kind of manner, and I think it would work.
Well, listen, I do anything to help the Sixers. I think people know Philadelphia means a lot to me. And I only want to see this. I want to see the Sixers win. And I think Ben's a great kid. Same thing with Joel. But he's going to have to learn to shoot. If I was right. If I was working with the Sixers, every time Ben didn't shoot the ball, I'd call a timeout. I would do that. I know I would be annoying. Every time he had a wide open shot and didn't shoot, I'd call timeout, start to play over.
Wait, he got 15 timeouts?
No, it doesn't. No, you know what? At some point, he's going to get sick of me calling timeout. Like, every time he was open,
uh-huh.
I was like, and he didn't shoot it, I'd call timeout, hey, do it again. At some point, he's going to be like...
Well, let me ask you this. If you actually did have a conversation with him, you ran into him somewhere, how would you approach it?
I'd say, yo, Ben... And I've said this on the air, because we actually had a conversation about it, and me and Kenny agree. Because Shaq's time, but he don't have to shoot. That goes back to him like, no, he can be a good player. Can't be a great player unless he learned how to shoot. He can be a good player, but he can't be a great, great player unless he learned how to shoot the ball. And we had an argument on the show about that one night. Shaq says he's an all-star. Yeah, there's a lot of guys who are all-star. But you can't be a great player unless you learn how to shoot the ball. He don't have to be Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, but Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan made themselves good shooters. You know,
you're right, but you would tell him that directly in a conversation. You'd say, what would you say exactly?
I said, yo, Ben, you got to work on, like Moses told me, hey, meet me before practice, meet me after practice. We're going to shoot 100 jump shots before practice. We're going to shoot 100 jump shots after practice. It's going to become a repetition. That's what I say. First of all, you just said, would I tell him that? Who else am I going to tell it to? You think I'd tell his agent?
No, because what I'm saying is a guy like Ben Simmons is like a reticent guy, and probably there's a certain way you have to address it, because he's heard it probably a million times that he has to shoot more.
But he's never heard it forcefully. I told you, I worry about the Sixers as far as like guys saying... Saying it and mean it. Like when Billy Cunningham looked at me and says, hey, you're not going to play. I don't care who Harold trade. You're not going to play. I had to get in shape or I wasn't going to play. And when Moses called me fat and lazy, I was fat and lazy.
I get it. But again, this is a different athlete.
No.
And
so when is it going
to
change?
I don't know. See, telling him to shoot jump shots is not the same as his mind clicking in during a game to shoot it.
Well,
so how do you get that? You can't call timeouts. You run out of timeouts.
No, I'm talking about in practice, not in the game. In practice. Uh-huh. He get frustrated in practice. But, hey, if he shoots all those shots every day, I think he'll let it go in
all
the
right.
game.
I hope that happens.
Well, somebody got to stay on him, though.
4 o'clock hours ahead right here, 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philly. Charles, all day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.